No Hard Feelings, written by Genevieve Novak and read by Meg Dunn. I've just left the 42,613th bad date of my life, and I know this is a bad idea. You around? I ask into the phone before he's even said hello. I'm just glad he picked up. Do you fancy a visit from the best, funniest, coolest girl in the world? Why? I can hear him smiling. Do you know her? That's enough out of you, I say, passing the train turnstiles at North Richmond and turning in the direction of his street. I'm just around the corner. Meet you downstairs in a bit, he says and hangs up. There. This will make everything better. I'm ignoring about a dozen messages in the group chat. If I open them, I'll have to tell my friends how the guy was 4 inches shorter than he claimed to be, made 2 hours feel like 12 by talking nonstop about cryptocurrency, and texted me before I'd even made it to Flinders Street Station saying, "Hi, Penny, wanted to let you know that I won't be pursuing this any further. Take care." Then one of them will offer to come over to commiserate and I'll have to explain where I am, and then I'll be in trouble. "Ugh, babe," Annie would say, exasperated like she has all the answers, even though she's as hopeless as I am. "We need to stop this cycle of self-abuse. Have you tried Hinge?" "Where is your self-respect?" Beck would ask, stern as a high school maths teacher. "When are you going to find someone nice and sensible like Evan?" And I'd roll my eyes so hard I'd give myself a hernia. "I exist on validation from emotionally unavailable men, biscuits and cheap wine," I would tell them. "And it's easier to get off with Max than a tiny teddy." Some self-sabotaging part of me wants to be disappointed by every new match, polite coffee date, wine-soaked disaster. I'm holding out for Max. Not that he's interested in being my boyfriend, mind you. He's very clear about that. "This is fun, Penny," he says all the time. "We're so good at being friends." But what else do you call it when you see each other for pizza, sex, and Netflix every week? He texts me almost every day, and anyway, we agreed to keep things casual, so it's fine, it's really fine. He wouldn't come as my date to my brother's wedding in October. "People would assume we're together," he said when I asked him. "I don't want you to have to explain that all night, babe." So I had to take Annie, and I accidentally got champagne drunk and cried in the toilets. She found me and gave me the telling off I needed. After an emergency coffee and a makeup wipe, I pinky promised her I'd get my shit together. I would stop crying, stop waiting for Max to remember how much he cares about me, and find someone to hold my hand in public. I would start doing Pilates, drink more water, and keep my houseplants alive. I would also find a way to make my boss like me, or at least stop begging for her approval like a nervous little whippet. That was 3 months ago, and I've been trying really hard. Honest, I've only killed one measly succulent, but I swear it was suicidal when I got it. Maybe it's the Aperol Spritz buzz giving me permission to be a drama queen, but I just can't bear the thought of going home and opening Tinder again. I don't want to dissect the entire date in the group chat to a chorus of, "The next one will be better." I don't want to lay out my clothes for work and obsess about what stupid mistake I'll make at the office tomorrow to warrant one of Margot's scathing looks. I've just spent $44 on cocktails to get me through an excruciating one-sided conversation with the world's least interesting man. I want to end my night on a high, and seeing Max usually does the trick. I don't care how I'll feel about myself later. It's like swapping cigarettes for a vape pen. I still get the nicotine hit, and there's a chance the whole thing will blow up in my face.